ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Trust in the media isn't what it used to be.
Why the mainstream media isn't reporting this, I do not know, but this is huge.
Sometimes it feels like no one can even agree on what's true anymore.
I don't trust the general public's ability to identify fake news.
So when anything can be faked, how do you keep your bearings? I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we sift the fact from the fiction. New episodes on ABC Listen every Tuesday and Thursday.
Jez, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. That's not closing. You look, you open
scared.
Them in alarm.
It's like gazing at the ceiling in panic.
Okay,
go ahead.
Stare at the ceiling for a moment. When I say the words fertilization president,
oh, I can figure out who said that.
What springs to mind?
It's, look, for a man to say it, for Donald Trump
yep.
to say it, it sort of strikes me as an odd choice of words because, I mean, this is someone who's been accused of rape, found liable in a civil case of sexual abuse.
Yes, correct.
And continues to have a cloud over his head in his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. There's no kind of allegation of wrongdoing directly, but it's kind of like, I'm just thinking, as an optics thing, it's a weird choice of words for a policy.
Well, what he wants, Jez, is a baby boom. Birth rate is down, as it is across Western countries, and people are submitting some plans to him. I want to talk about them, but I also want to talk about one actual bit of evidence about something that works that people are not talking about. There is a solution that is staring us in the face.
Hey, Jez and Jules here with a bonus episode of Not Stupid. So, Jules, what is going on with the birth rate in the US?
Okay, downward trend. Began in the early 2000s in the US, and ours is even lower than theirs.
Yeah, it's not unique to the US.
It's about 1.48 births per woman in Australia, 1.6 in the US, 1.41 even lower in the UK. And what they call the replacement level, when the population
to maintain
replaces
an equilibrium,
itself, is 2.1. It's also being seen in Italy, Japan, South Korea. So there's a lot of factors. There's job insecurity, climate change, cost of living.
But this is a major economic issue, right? Structurally for the economy. This is why we're having this big conversation about immigration in Australia right now. It's directly tied to this. We are not giving birth to enough people in this country.
Yep.
We basically need to import them, preferably skilled.
Yeah, and we need, you know, we need skilled workers, but we've got an aging population which needs to be supported by younger people. Otherwise, it's all going to tilt in that direction. And so, of course, in all of this, we get these ideological stuff, right? Mm. People will jump out and go, oh, it's women's fault. What do we do about that? There was this ridiculous chat. Well, it wasn't a ridiculous chat. The ridiculous points made on this podcast called Diary of a CEO. It's hosted by Stephen Bartlett. He's an entrepreneur, one of the most popular podcasts in the world. Some very good points made on it, sometimes some very good podcasts, which is why people were surprised when, this is what Bartlett said, what are we going to do about this? Women not having babies. In the short term, we're going to have a lot of men who are disillusioned, that become incels, find themselves in pockets of the internet that are resentful, all those kinds of things. But should society intervene to course correct that? Should we put systems in place to make sure that those men meet partners? How does that sound to you, Jez? What system would we put in place?
I just kind of think of red hoods and women walking around and saying,
exactly,
praise be. This is what comes to mind, right? I mean, I remember watching that show, Handmaid's Tale.
Brilliant, brilliant show.
And thinking, as if, right?
No, I watched it with, I think most women watched it with a chill of recognition of fear.
I recognize that now, but like at the time I was just like, this just seems to be too far. This would never happen.
Yeah.
And the
no, but
the
I mean at the time.
Yeah.
That it was always a sense that this is one beat away,
being
controlled and being restrained. But exactly. So that didn't go down very well with the ladies of the internet. They don't want to be coerced into thanks very much
but I think
for
the
holding
incel
us to
thing,
blame.
And also the incel thing I feel is quite a separate kind of issue, right? I
mean,
to draw a line from incels to economic collapse is kind of – you've got to make quite a few leaps there.
Yeah, sure, but there's a lot of acrobats in the manosphere and beyond, Jez. But you know what I found really interesting? Get this. So Matt Bevan, friend of the show.
Yes.
ABC colleague. He's got a new series out, Black Swans. And he's got this video that we'll put on our show notes. He talks about Kingsley Davis. Now, he was an American sociologist and demographer who coined the terms population explosion, zero population growth. He said in 1967, this is what a government could do to control population. Squeeze consumers through tax and inflation. Make housing very scarce by limiting construction. Force wives and mothers to work outside the home to offset the inadequacy of male wages, yet provide few childcare facilities. Encourage migration to the city by paying low wages in the country and providing few rural jobs. Increase congestion in the city by starving the transit system, and increase personal insecurity by encouraging conditions that produce unemployment. Now, Davis said he didn't think governments would do that because it was obviously immoral and evil.
I feel like all the KPIs have been met.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, isn't it? 1967. So what do we do about? I mean, we've experimented with different things. Remember Peter Costello, when he was treasurer, was like, have one for the country, which was deeply unsexy.
Baby bonus, school briefly. Kids bonus, and all this speculation about, you know, people don't know what to do with all this money that lands in their bank account, so they'll go and buy a big plasma TV. The evidence didn't bear that out, but this was the kind of thing that people can't be trusted with a government incentive to do the right thing with it, which is to go away, have a lie down and have a baby.
Yes, exactly. So the Trump administration has asked for ideas to be submitted. And they're coming from a range of people, including the Heritage Foundation, by the way, the architects of Project 2025. So people have made these following suggestions, submitted them to the White House: a $5,000 baby bonus to each woman who gives birth, reserving scholarships, Fulbright scholarships for people who are married or have kids, menstruation education to inform women. I find that wild that they think women don't understand their own periods here, but nonetheless. And Jez, motherhood medals.
What, hang on, what? Motherhood medals?
Yeah.
Like literally handing out congratulations on.
Yeah. Frances had one since 1920 if you have four or more kids. Like, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I hear the word mother medal and I think, yes, I do deserve one. Where is mine? Can I cash it in for something else?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I kind of like think praise, I always say this, people find it really harsh, but I say praise is not a commodity.
But then we think, wait a minute. My second beat is, you want to give women a medal to do this? And do you know when we had medals before, Jess?
Where?
Nazi Germany.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like parenting, like being a mother medal.
It was legislated in 1938. It was called the Honor Cross of the German Mother. And it was to encourage married German women to give birth to many children. They got bronze for four children, silver for six, and gold for eight.
And
they were
what?
Black
and
swastikas
what?
In the center of an enamel cross.
And what? Like, do you just get the medal and then go home and just keep parenting your six children?
Yeah, it had the words Der Deutschen Mutter, the German mother, around the swastika, rays of light shooting out. You could wear it around your neck. You had to receive one of these. You had to be both your parents had to be genetically healthy people of German blood who had not deemed to be asocial. Only Aryan women could get it. If you were non-Aryan, you couldn't. So, nor could you if you were diagnosed with or had family histories of any conditions or traits authorities considered negative and inheritable: blindness, deafness, epilepsy, Huntington's disease, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, any disabilities, and alcoholism. So they had these big public ceremonies for all the people that apparently made it through all those gaps. And they recorded them and they put them in newspaper articles, radio broadcasts, and members of the Hitler Youth and the German League of Girls were told, when you see a woman walking past you in public wearing one of these, you salute.
Did it work as a kind of baby booming facility?
Well, that's a good question. By the way, they did also give marriage loans to newlyweds and wrote them off if the marriage produced four healthy and racially acceptable children. So, yes, the birth rate increased in the 1930s, but none of these policies had any measurable impact on it. And, in fact, you know, during the Nazi era, the birth rate never reached the the heights it had in the early Weimar Republic.
Okay, so you said you've got ideas, you've got thoughts, yeah. You've got lessons from history.
Yep.
What could Donald Trump do?
Okay, I've got one idea I think that is just staring him in the face. Before I get to it, can we just say that things like using Medicaid coverage or cutting funding for monthly food benefits, they've also proposed narrowing employment protections for pregnant women and discrimination protections for women, attempting to freeze childcare funding.
What's the mat leave allowance for the US?
That's a good point, because Trump did sign a form of parental leave into law during his first term. In 2020, it was 12 weeks of paid parental leave for federal employees. Before then, it was they had no leave.
And also important to mention that it's highly variable, right? Across highly states, variable. Across different sectors and companies, whether you're private or public sector.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how much I had. I think when I was there and had a baby, I had maybe under my health insurance, mm-hmm. maybe 6 weeks.
Mm.
But it was, as I said, it was under disability. That's how you had to apply.
I'm so mad.
So all of these things are, you know, I would consider relevant to whether or not there's a lot of companies that have cut back on childcare assistance and healthcare. So, Jez, here's what works. Are we ready?
Yeah, go.
If I can quote Joanne Lippman, who was writing the New York Times, working from home juices fertility.
Hang on.
Yeah.
He signed an executive order on the first day of his presidency
yeah.
against working from
home. Well, yeah, we've got a problem.
Everyone. I think that was sort of partly reversed, right? There was yeah. That you could kind of apply for an exception kind of. He kind of wound it back a little bit, but we know that the Trump administration is profoundly yeah. against working from home.
Yeah.
And that sentiment is shared around the world in governments and corporations around mm-hmm. the world, including in various parts of Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Companies penalise women who work from home, which has seen women leave the workforce. Again, if anyone was interested in evidence, she screams into the void. I mean, thank you for the medal. Cheers. Thank you very much. But if you let me work from home, and it's not even about if we just left aside what women actually want. If we just talked about the research, there's a Stanford University working paper. 290,000 extra children a year have been born in the US since COVID, which has been fueled by more work from home opportunities. There's an economist from Stanford who's the author of this study. His name's Nicholas Bloom. He says if both parents move from full-time in the office to working at home at least one day a week, they will average about 0.5 extra children, pushing towards the replacement level of 2.1.
Okay, so how does that work then? I mean, are people kind of making babies and doing the laundry on work time? Like, is that what...
I love this because this is a little bit of your weak spot. You're like, are they actually working?
No, but and now you're like, this is the argument that's made.
They're
in
rumbling around in bed. Well, here. But you know, having a moment of your lunch break, what's wrong with that?
But this is the argument that's made repeatedly here that people are not doing actual work from
but
the.
But it's the
homes.
Argument that husbands and wives, well known for tearing each other's clothes on. I just add it. Is that the argument? Okay, well, let me tell you. So Nicholas Bloom says this is a result of both opportunity. You can't get pregnant by email, he says. To your point, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess shorter working days because of commutes or being able to get more done. And availability. Less commuting time equals more time for parenting. Bloom says working from home is the most effective fertility-boosting policy out there. Norway's 2020 lockdown, they had a big increase in birth 9 months later. Oh, you know an interesting study? There was a German one which found the uptake of high-speed internet between 2008 and 12 increased fertility amongst highly educated women because it allowed them to work from home. Jez, what do you reckon?
Well, if this is what...
You're just worried that you're no. going to be trying to reach a colleague and they'll be...
Sorry to interrupt. But,
no FaceTime.
Look, I think you know, I know that in a cohort of employers around the world, there is deep suspicion about people who want to work from home and what yep. they're doing on work time. Yep. And it's much more difficult for an employer to monitor the intake and output of work and what they can expect from their employees. The oversight
yep.
is not as clear as if they're sitting at the desk right next to you, right?
Yeah.
But we need to also look at evidence here.
I don't think there's a reduction in efficiency when you're at home. I think the people still need to come into the office to bounce ideas off each other, to have some collegiality, to do all those things that are valued. But significant time is lost through commutes. If you just even allow 2 hours a day.
Don't I know it? Absolutely.
Okay, 1 hour, 1.25 hours for more work, and then you get a little bit of roll around.
You're just less tired. You're just less tired having to manage all of that extra stuff during the day. And having worked with people, there is a model of person who's actually very effective at working from home.
Yes.
And what the employer gets from that is a significant bump because that person has the facility in their home to pick up work as and when they please and as they're needed as well. So there is a dividend here to be had for employers as well.
Yeah.
Look, if that's the goal, increase the birth rate, as you say, here's the evidence.
Well, don't you think it's interesting that we come up with all this other bump? Women are selfish. We need to coerce them. Maybe they just need a medal.
But what about the incels?
Need to be told when their periods arrive. They need to be told. Or you could have a look at the commute times and see what consequence that actually has. I think that is fascinating. Would you like a fatherhood medal?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think I would.
We just shouldn't exclude them. Like, let's just strip all the eugenics out of the medals and the, dodgy associations.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get it at your kid's first birthday just because they're still alive. I'd be interested in what people think about that idea of commuting and also Jo's medals for, not sleeping for 3 years.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, and have you ever skived off working from home? And what's the, let us know. Like, what do you think about the idea of working from home?
Don't write in and say that because Jeremy thinks everyone's skiving.
No, I don't, but it's a fair argument.
But they're just having sex, Jess. That's what everyone's doing.
What? Everyone. What power do you?
All
just
the
get
time
your work done.
At home. Anyway, please write and tell us. We'd love to hear from you at notstupid@abc.net.au.
Jules, catch up next week.
See ya.
Bye.